SportsTVNetwork.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Miami Town Ghost Talk. I am one of the hosts, and my name is Mike.
And I am the other one of the hosts, and my name is Jeff.
Did that intro sound extra bassy tonight?
I was still curious. I know that you told me last week, but is that from Poltergeist? The all are welcome.
Yes. It's from Poltergeist. I'm not sure if it's from one or two.
In my headphones, you were breaking up really bad there, so I have no idea what you just said.
It's from Poltergeist, but I'm not sure if it's from Poltergeist 1 or Poltergeist 2. But it is from Poltergeist. And I have others.
It does sound like the old lady from Poltergeist. I don't recognize the clip, but
I thought it was.
But I recognize the voice. What?
I thought it was the little girl from Poltergeist, not the old lady.
No, it's the old lady. Oh. I guarantee it.
Okay, you could be right.
I'm sure that I'm right.
I'm not sure I've ever seen the movie. So
you've never seen Poltergeist?
I don't think so. Not from beginning to end.
Haven't we talked about this on the show? Just the movie Poltergeist and the paranormal group that comes into the house in Poltergeist, and they were all excited because a truck moved all the way across the kitchen floor over the course of several hours.
It's possible.
And then they show up to the. And then they show him to the room where everything's flying around the room.
We could have talked about it. But I have never seen the movie.
So you were just pretending.
That's what I have to do, isn't it?
I see.
Maybe I should go rent that. I feel kind of wrong being a paranormal enthusiast and never saw the movie Poltergeist.
Yes. What are the movies that a paranormal enthusiast has to have seen?
The Exorcist. White Noise.
Okay.
The worst movie ever.
You're breaking up pretty bad. I don't know if that's my fault or not, or if it's my side or not. But I did hear White, so I'm assuming that you said White Noise.
Yes, that is what I said.
Still breaking up, but I heard yes, so that's good enough for me. Ghostbusters?
Yeah. It's not Blair. Very... Ghostbusters isn't very paranormal, though. It's more fictionalized than the others.
Well, I don't know. They're scientists. They have the PK meter, which actually detects electromagnetic fields. I think the field might have been influenced in one way or another by Ghostbusters itself. Awesome. Yes, it did go way over the top, but perhaps.
I would say no to Blair Witch because... Nope. In my opinion, it really has nothing to do with the paranormal. And I see why you say that, but no.
How I see paranormal activity in the chat room. How about that one?
I don't know. I never saw it.
You never saw what kind of a paranormal enthusiast are you?
I rented it, and I never watched it, and then I returned it. So I guess that was a waste of money right there.
I did enjoy Paranormal Activity.
I heard it was like the Blair Witch for the ghost people.
I haven't really heard that, but I can definitely see that. And I'm not sure I've really heard a positive review about it, but... But it's kind of from the, I don't know, I enjoyed it, and it was really, really creepy in my mind. Like, there's these scenes where they're recording that they think they have a ghost, so they have a camera on the bed all night, and they have the camera on the bed all night, and then the wife or whatever gets up and walks over to the husband's side of the bed and just stands there, and then they fast forward and it goes for like hours where she's just standing there looking at him. And that's, I don't know, that's creepy to me. That's very, very creepy, and it's, I don't know, it seemed very, I liked it better than White Noise. It's a different movie than Ghostbusters or I don't even remember the other one, the Poltergeist.
I was much more interested in seeing Paranormal Activity before I heard all the reviews. The reviews kind of turned me off of it.
Well, my review is it's very good, and it's very creepy. And it's creepy in a way that a horror movie isn't often creepy.
Right.
Because there aren't that many ghost horror movies out there. Most of the horror movies out there are about serial killers or crazy monsters of some sort or something like that. This was just creepy, and it was done in a way that was very realistic.
Another one that I thought was really good and is kind of loosely based on a true story is The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And I think that's a good one for people to see as well.
I don't remember that one real well. I remember not hating it, but I'm afraid that I have seen it, and I'm afraid that the fact that I don't remember it that well kind of hurts its potential as being one of the great paranormal movies of all time.
I don't know if it's one of the greatest of all time, but it was one of my more favorites from more recently.
What about An American Haunting or A Haunting in Connecticut, where these are actually movies about supposed actual ghost stories?
An American Haunting I liked a lot. I thought that was a great movie. And kind of left you thinking. I never saw A Haunting in Connecticut.
I do like the story of the Bell Witch from An American Haunting, and I've been studying up on that a little bit lately, and it's the way that the story goes is they started seeing strange creatures out in their farm, and then they were sleeping in their house, and they started hearing knocking coming from outside of the house, and then they started hearing knocking coming from inside the house, and then they started hearing breathing, and then this ghost or whatever was going on started to talk to them, and it said that it had two goals, and one of the goals was to break up the relationship between Mr. Bell's daughter and this suitor that she was seeing, and the other goal was to kill Mr. Bell. And apparently the ghost accomplished both of them. It killed Mr. Bell and it broke up that relationship, and a lot of people bill this as the only ghost that's ever actually killed anyone.
Which I'm not quite sure I agree with. I mean, yes, the ghost caused the death of him, but it didn't really kill him. I'm sure there are other stories where a ghost caused the death of someone at some point, somehow.
And I kind of think that, too, because I know we've had demonologists on, or a lot of people who talk about demons and possessions and things like that. Those all seem like they're really, really bad. Mm-hmm. I find it hard to believe that something like that didn't eventually cause someone to actually die.
Right.
But But for the time being, since there's only this one, officially there's only this one haunting in history that's actually killed somebody, I'm still doing my best to get my house haunted.
So what about the most recent movie? I think it was The Last Exorcism, I think. Did you ever see that one?
I haven't seen it.
I saw the previews and it looked just like overly disturbing with all the bones breaking and stuff as she's doing her crazy bending and stuff when she gets possessed, and it looked a little overboard. But I never saw it either. And the only one I can think of. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
The only other one I can think of is Amityville Horror, the original, which I thought was a good movie.
I didn't think it was nearly as scary as the actual photo that was captured from the site by the news crew. Like, I'm completely convinced in my head that the photo was fake, that this was all staged, but it's still the creepiest ghost picture that I have ever seen in my life.
Is that the one with the little boy peeking around the corner?
Yes, it's the one where the little boy is peeking around the corner. Okay. He's on the landing of the staircase, and he's standing there behind the railing, and it's completely clear that this is a little boy. And anybody out there who has no idea what we're talking about, just type in Amityville Horror or Amityville photograph, and it'll come up all over the place. And the picture does look a lot like the boy who was killed in the massacre that happened in the house. Still in the back of my head, though, I'm completely convinced that this was staged by the news crew. And it would be a great thing to stage by the news crew, because I'm sure they got a lot of publicity from it. They got a lot of sales, and it's like that iPhone app that puts these fake ghosts in the pictures. Our field isn't respected, but they realize that we get a lot of press, we get a lot of interest, so they if you can fake it, then you're going to get a lot of interest yourself. So it's kind of ridiculous.
Yep. Your sound keeps going in and out. Like, I'll hear the first syllable of a word and the last syllable, but not the middle two. It's very strange. So, here's what I say we do. Let's take a commercial break, hang up on you, call you back, and then call our guest, and then we'll come back and talk to our guest. I guess we should say who our guest is going to be, shouldn't we?
Yes.
Tonight we will be talking to a member of SOAR, Southern Ohio Apparition Researchers, and his name is Matt. He used to work with us in CAPR as well. And I think, is he the tech dude for SOAR like he was CAPR?
I believe that he is the promotional dude, as you put it. He works with, I guess, getting their name out there, establishing events, and just connecting with the public. But what's great about Matt is that he's very educated in the field. He knows a lot about the field, and he tends to be pretty opinionated about what he talks about. And that always makes for, I guess, an interesting show or an interesting opinion on it. And I'm anxious to get to talk to him about how he feels about a bunch of these paranormal topics.
Yes. I also just got word he is the case manager. So he's case manager and PR.
So, all right.
With that being said, you've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on PTN Radio, People's TV Network, and ASPRN, the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And we'll be right back after these short messages. July of 1863, the town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, witnessed the battle with the largest number of casualties in the American Civil War. It is estimated that up to 51,000 Americans lost their lives in only 3 days. This year on All Hallows Eve, from October 30th to November 1st, for 3 days and three nights, you're invited to a once-in-a-lifetime event with medium Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels. Your weekend will include events such as a costume party, meet and greet, overnight investigation, live connections with medium Ron Reeder, and all of this broadcast live from the People's TV Network. This is Mike.
And this is Mary from Music Over the Years. We're moving to PTN Radio Network.
Come join us every Sunday night at 11:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Truth Travelers, seeking the truth of the paranormal and the unexplained.
It is then up to you to decide if what has been presented is fact or fabrication.
Truth Travelers airs live every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on PTN Radio at peoplestvnetwork.com.
Monday nights at 10 o'clock, Jeff from Miami Town
and Web Guy
host an interesting show where we talk about interesting things.
Lots of fun. Good stuff.
Or at least things that interest us.
Definitely.
And hopefully they interest you too, be it paranormal.
Or just interesting banter.
So, tune in Monday.
Monday.
Night at 10 o'clock on PTN for the most interesting show that you've ever heard.
Boo. Hello, this is Steve Shockley. Do you know what I like to do on Sunday nights? I like to connect to ASPRN Radio and listen to Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels. He's on every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. Don't forget, Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels.
And we're back, and we've got our guest on the line. Our guest is Matt from SOAR, Southern Ohio Apparition Researchers, and he is the case manager and PR dude for their group. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well, guys. How about yourself?
Doing all right.
Mostly what I do is public relations. I try and promote our events and all that, but when caseloads get a little bit heavy, I help our case manager out, kind of make the calls and talk to the clients, because she does a lot already. So I just try to help out all around wherever I can.
So am I still breaking up? Is my voice still very broken up?
Nope. There you go. You sound fine to me.
Yeah, you sound good to me.
Excellent. So I kind of wanted to kind of get into a conversation here with you, Matt. I know we've had you on the show before. I know you very, very well. You've been in paranormal groups with me, and you help us out with the ghost tour a whole lot. But I was hoping to kind of get you angry about some of the paranormal stuff out there in the paranormal field. And I think I'll start by mentioning my desire to actually haunt my house. Like, I do my best to bring a ghost back with me to my house, but as of this point, it has not yet worked. And I know that while you take a very scientific approach to the whole paranormal field, I guess bringing a ghost back to your house isn't something that you've pursued with a lot of effort.
Well, no, it's actually funny. I bought a house a couple years ago, and it's a 100-year-old house, and I was really kind of, oh, come on. And the first night I was there, all the lights in the rooms would turn on and off randomly. And I got really excited because I'm like, oh, man, this is it. And then, of course, I had an electrician in, and they're, you know, knob and tube wiring, fixed it. And unfortunately, I don't live in a haunted house. So I understand the desire. I think it would be really cool. But unfortunately, I don't live in one. As to your question, no, I'm not a fan of the ghosts following you home theory. You know, as usual, it's all theories in our field. I mean, nothing's really certain, but I really haven't read a reliable account, you know, that I've really been invested in of a ghost following people home. I'm sure it's possible, but, you know, I've been doing this for 3.5 years now, and the person who trained me has been doing this, Joy Naylor, for 20-odd years, and she's fond of saying, you know, I've been doing this for 20-odd years, and, you know, I've never seen Satan, I've never been followed home, I've never been possessed, and that's basically my answer to it. I think it would be great, but I'm just not into it. I don't get the idea.
Well, I completely agree with you. I think it would be great because I think this is what we're actually out there to find. And if we have a ghost in our own house, like, how convenient would that be? You don't need to go somewhere else to set up your equipment. If you have a ghost right there, why not just record it right there? But I do hear all these stories again and again about these ghosts that follow people home and how these people are legitimately scared and they're like, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, or you might have a ghost follow you home. And I guess in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, what kind of paranormal investigator are you? Why not bring him home? You're getting him out of the client's house. You're bringing him to your own house where you can study him in a more controlled environment one way or another. And what's going on with this whole situation? And Mike, you can answer too. I want my house to be haunted.
Well, it's funny that actually at the conference on Saturday, which, by the way, was great, and I really had a blast, and you guys were awesome. I can't wait till next year. But it was funny. I spent almost 20 minutes talking with a woman whose husband is a pretty avid amateur ghost hunter, and that's her concern. She was like, oh God, I'm going to forbid him to do it because he's going to bring something home. And, you know, I hear stories, especially a lot of times with, like, cemetery hoppers. You know, they'll go to a cemetery, they'll, you know, do their little investigation, then they'll come home and they see things or they're jumping at things. And literally what I think that is the excitement. They work themselves up and they go home, and it's like when you watch a scary movie. You know, normally that dark hallway from your bedroom to the bathroom is, you know, no problem at 3 a.m. when you get up. But if you watch that right scary movie and you get up to go to the bathroom, that hallway looks creepy. And I think a lot of it is that kind of effect. You're worked up, your adrenaline's going, you're kind of in that mood to get scared, so everything looks slightly creepy to you.
And I think a lot of the, I want to say rumors, are the ones that follow you home are the, quote, bad ones, the evil ones. And so a lot of the investigators don't want to bring them home because they're afraid it's going to hurt them and do bad things to them, kind of like not using the Ouija board because it'll hurt them. I think that's kind of another reason a lot of people don't want to bring him home.
Right, and exactly. And it's of course, like I said, it's all theory. I'll kind of throw out my standard disclaimer, and that's, again, there's no right answer in our field. There's a right way to do things for an individual group. What's right for SOAR may not be right for another group. And like I said, we do things very scientifically, and I've just never heard a really convincing story. I'm still waiting to be convinced about the following you home. And believe me, I would love for it to be true. And I would love to find someone who could really turn me around on that. But as of yet, I have not heard or met someone who's been able to give me a convincing account of that.
And
I guess kind of on that same path.
I have something.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Sorry. But it's exactly where we were, and I don't want to lose the topic. If it was that easy to bring something home or for something to attach to an object, wouldn't all antique stores be haunted?
Well, that's actually something I kind of, a little off topic, but I have heard some good stories about haunted possessions. And I'm willing to give some wiggle room on that, if you will. But the theory of, I just go to a place, an entity attaches itself to me, and follows me home and then makes my residence its residence. You know, again, I'm just not into it. Sorry.
Okay, you can go ahead, Jeff.
Well, talking about Ouija boards, one of the, or I guess the only explanation that I've really heard against Ouija boards, like some people say that you shouldn't use Ouija boards because it's a Parker Brothers game and just ridiculous to start with, but most of the people who advise you not to use Ouija boards are saying that you don't know what you're dealing with. You might bring some more evil energy out or something like that. And again, I think that's what we're looking for. If there's this spike in paranormal activity, even if it's attacking me and hitting me and scratching me and all that, at this point, I think I would welcome that. I think that I would be okay with that because I'm out there with my equipment, and if something like that can be documented, that's what we're looking for.
Right, but I'll give you my opinion, too, is that any ghost hunting device, paranormal investigation device with the words "for entertainment purposes only" on the box, probably not the best tool you want to use.
Well, I admit it's not a scientific tool, but there are a lot of people out there who say that you shouldn't use it because it's just plain evil. And I think it's completely worth, I guess, pursuing just to I guess test their approach to it, and like I'm not scared of a ghost at this point. I'm not saying that once it completely attacks me and destroys my life or whatever, like everybody says that it's going to eventually, that I won't be, but at this point I would welcome a ghost coming into my house, throwing me down the stairs and I'd say pulling my hair, but everyone who knows me knows that I have no hair.
Yeah, you have absolutely no hair. But I also would like to say I do believe in ghosts, because I know a lot of times when people hear me talk or give a lecture or whatever that they think I'm just a pure skeptic. I'm not. I very much believe in them, but I just need a little bit more proof than a Ouija board. I think you're going to get that same thing I was talking about earlier. Bunch of people sitting around wanting to be scared. Yeah, they're going to jump at every little thing. They're going to draw conclusions and observations that aren't there because they want to be scared. And that's a natural human thing. It's why horror movies exist.
Power of suggestion. Yep.
I don't understand this whole phenomenon with people all scared to death about these ghosts following them home. There's like these locations, oh no, don't go there. If you go there, a ghost will follow you home, or you'll have bad luck for a certain amount of time. That just seems like what we should be looking for, these little nuggets of proof that there's something else out there. And like, I don't know, Bobby Mackey's people say if you go to Bobby Mackey's, you'll have something follow you home, and it'll be terrible and all that. And I was even talking to Melinda, is she the founder or just the
yeah,
president?
Yeah, she's the founder. She started it back in 2005.
The founder of SOAR herself said that there's this cemetery, which I'm anxious, very, very anxious to go out to. Apparently there were a couple serial killers in the area who were both buried in this remote backwoods cemetery with no markers, and a couple people, I don't know, from the group or whatever, say that after they visited the cemetery they were followed home by a ghost of some sort. And it's you hear these stories again and again and again, and it just seems that as paranormal investigators, that should be, if this is something that's possible, this is something that we should try to get to happen. As paranormal investigators, we should take those ghosts out of those clients' houses that are afraid of it and say, hey, come on, follow me home. We'll talk.
No, I agree. And as to that cemetery, I'll be heading out there myself shortly because ultimately I want to be proven wrong. I would love to have something follow me home. And you know, as much as I hate to contradict my boss, I'm just not convinced. But yeah, absolutely. That pretty much goes for everything I believe in the paranormal field is I would love to be proven wrong on many, many issues. I just haven't been yet.
So what's another possible issue that you have with the paranormal field where they have a certain idea and you disagree with it?
Well, I mean, to go to the straight up obvious one is I really am still kind of baffled by the orb photos. I know we've talked about this at length, and I'll just bring it up briefly, but I get a bunch of pictures. I have an invite on my site. Hey, you know, please send me pictures. I'd be happy to take a look at them. And I actually ended up making a handmade chart of over 60 different orbs that I just made myself, photographed. I put them into a little chart with Photoshop. And every time someone sends it to me, I always compare it to that. Because my thing is, orbs could very well be paranormal. I'm not disputing that. But in most cases, 99.9%, it's impossible to distinguish between the two. So sometimes I find myself wishing that we could just kind of move on from that. But I know that's a common thing I disagree with. I have many different opinions on things, but a lot of it's based on the method of my group. As I said, there's no wrong way to do something. There's just a wrong way for our group. Such as demons and mediums, it's a lot of that type stuff makes you have to subscribe to some sort of a religion or a particular philosophy to get it that I just don't. I'm not trying to shoot it down. I'm not trying to say it's not a valid way to investigate. I'm just not into it, and Soares is not really into it. But there's a lot of issues that we could go back and forth on forever.
Well, on the subject of orbs, and I know you just wanted to touch on it for a second, but I know that as a ghost tour guide, everybody with a camera comes up and says, I have this picture of ghosts, what do you think? And it's just a dust orb or a bug or something like that. And it seems almost backwards for the entire field. I could see how the first couple times that somebody took a picture and there was this orb in a supposedly haunted place and they didn't know anything about photography, they could have thought, hey, this is some sort of spirit activity. And then that kind of got carried away. And then somebody who's actually a photographer and who knows that when you have a flash on a camera, it reflects off dust, it reflects off bugs, it reflects off raindrops, and you get those orbs, they said that, you're crazy. This isn't a ghost. This is just an artifact of the camera. And then the paranormal field itself kind of backpedals and says, oh yeah, you're right. It's probably just that, but it could still be a ghost. And I guess in my head, it couldn't still be a ghost. We disproved that. And saying that it could still be a ghost is kind of a way of saying that it's, we don't want to admit we're wrong. Maybe we're wrong on most of them, but we're not completely wrong. These could still possibly be ghosts.
All right, I understand you. A lot of what I talk about is I remember that lady at your book signing the other night. I felt so bad. She had a whole giant stack of orb photos, almost all of them were taken outside at functions. Like, I think I saw a wedding in there and a picnic, and you know, and she's saying, no, I can't say that's an orb. No, I can't say that's, you know, a paranormal orb. No, I can't say that. And at the end, she was like, so I have a large picture of dust orbs. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. I really don't like dashing people's hope, because I just think there's a lot better evidence out there than orbs. I know orbs are the easiest to get because there's a lot of dust. That's basically what it boils down to.
I think the same thing as the whole orb thing, at least in my mind, and kind of applies to the whole using electromagnetic fields to detect ghosts. And the reason I say that is when we first started, we got these electromagnetic fields around where people would experience ghosts. And then Harvard or whoever it was that did the study, they realized that strong electromagnetic fields cause hallucinations and paranoia and things like that, which is essentially paranormal activity. But they essentially prove that it's all paranormal because of these electromagnetic fields.
Right. I still believe that EMFs can be used to help track ghosts, but, you know, you hear stories like a woman told me, you know, she goes down to do laundry in her basement. Every time she goes down to do laundry in her basement, she feels like she's being watched. Of course, right behind her is, you know, the main power source for the house, and it's giving off massive amounts of EMFs, and the woman happens to be sensitive, and yet one of the effects of it can very well be paranoia, and of course it ends as soon as she goes back upstairs, and that's a cause.
So what's the difference between this and orbs, where we discover that the reason for the paranormal activity near the electromagnetic fields is this? What's the difference between that and realizing that the reason that there's all these orbs in these haunted locations is just because of dust orbs and bugs?
Well, no, you're exactly right. There's, you know, EMFs have become a lot more helpful in kind of explaining away events instead of recording it. But I think the theory is still sound that, you know, they give off, the spirits need energy to do things, and this device can measure energy. But you're right. Nowadays, we use it a lot to find, oh, gosh, the radio by your head, clock radio by your head is giving off massive EMFs. Maybe you move that, and, you know, you'll stop seeing things when you lie down in bed. So its role has kind of changed over the years.
Is there a way to tell the difference between an electromagnetic field that's causing the paranoia and the supposed ghosts, and an electromagnetic field that has no explanation and could be a result of ghosts themselves?
Well, yeah, certainly. If you can't trace it back to a source, then it could very well be paranormal. Most high EMF readings can be, you know, traced back to a source, maybe unshielded wires or a power outlet or a light bulb or whatever. I always think of the case we were on in Middletown, Jeff, where I saw the apparition, and we went into the room, and, you know, the standard EMF for the room was, I think, 1.5, and we went in there, and it was 18, and then it went down to, like, 16, 14, and it seemed to dissipate, and that's a lot more interesting to me. So I think that's possibly one of the things you could use to figure out, well, is it paranormal, or is it, you know, just regular high electrical? And we never did get readings that high in anywhere in the house again.
Right. I remember that, and that was a crazy investigation that we were on. I myself was actually a member of CAPR, and I believe Mike, you were on that investigation as well, and we were seeing full figured apparitions. There were doors that were closing, like not like actual doors going from room to room, but like sliding closet doors that were open one time, and then we went or they were closed one time, and then we went and they were wide open, and there's absolutely no explanation for it. And then near those times when we were getting the paranormal activity, these apparitions and these strange events, the electromagnetic field would actually spike at that time, and yeah, I can see how that seems like it's something that's completely paranormal. But at the same time, in the back of my head, I keep thinking of say there's something paranormal just happened, and you take a photo, and there happens to be an orb in that photo. That would seem almost paranormal as well, but logically, I'm thinking that orb is just a coincidental dust orb that happened to appear right when there was something paranormal going on.
Right. No, and there's certainly is you know, I would look a little harder at an orb, maybe, that it had all that stuff going on. But still, it's even if the orbs are paranormal, since they're virtually, you know, you can't tell the difference, you almost have to throw it out. And, of course, I pretty much automatically dismiss dust orbs taken outside. But that case was absolutely still one of the best cases I think I've ever been on. And I know that was a wild night.
Yes.
So what if you were to...
Very much.
What if you were to watch a door open by itself, no reason for it to be opening, and there was an orb on the handle? Would you discount that as dust? Or would you actually give it some sort of credence or whatever, that validity?
You're talking about an orb on the doorknob in a picture, correct?
Right.
Okay, well, first I would see what, you know, is the doorknob made of reflective surfaces, that your flash bounced off it, and... Yeah, I think ultimately I would have to discount it because it's still probably dust. I'd be more interested in the video of the door opening. Of course, I'd go look for drafts and open windows and check the door, but I'd be way more interested in the video of the door opening than the picture with the orb by the open door.
I agree, but kind of along the same lines of what Jeff was saying, why would an EMF detector going off be more valid than seeing that orb just because there's other evidence there to back it up? I guess is what I'm going for.
Well, I would just say that it would, like I said, even if the orb is paranormal, it's still completely and utterly indistinguishable from a dust orb. Now, an EMF, you'd have to say, again, try and trace it back to a source. If there's a high EMF reading and you can't trace it back to a source, then yeah, absolutely, it could be the fading energy that the spirit used to open the door or whatever. Again, it's not perfect proof. It's not something you can take to a scientist or even really a skeptic, but it helps, and orbs just don't.
Okay.
I think I've turned this into an orb chat, unfortunately.
I guess in my own lack of knowledge and the whole science and technical aspects of the whole thing, is it possible for, say, radio waves or some natural external force to create a spike in the electromagnetic field when you're either outside or inside a house?
I'm not the tech guy. I believe it's possible, but it's more likely if it's going through the air, it's a frequency, it's a radio wave, it's something that's what we would use an RF meter to find out. But yeah, that's the problem, is so many different things are possible. It's a hard journey when you're looking for hard proof of the paranormal. Absolutely.
So what would it take to convince a skeptic of the existence of ghosts, or to convince a mainstream scientist of the existence of ghosts? And what can we do as a field, as a group of people interested in proving the existence of this to the rest of the world, in order to prove it to the rest of the world?
Well, I don't believe. We really have the tools yet necessary to convince. Well, first of all, I don't really believe you. If it's a diehard skeptic, you're not gonna convince them at all. But I think convincing video, audio evidence with the skeptic, with the scientist present, taking into account all surroundings, all factors, could go a long way. I think the main problem so many skeptics have is they say, oh, well, that sounds great, or it looks great, you know, the EVP really sounds convincing, or the photo, the video looks great, sounds convincing, but, you know, there was no scientist there, how can we, it's always that question of, you basically have to question the honor, you have to say, well, I have to take you on your word that you didn't manipulate this in any way, shape, or form, and every time you read or see evidence, you have to say, okay, you know, I trust this group or this person that they wouldn't do it, which, you know, many of us in the profession would obviously take for granted, but skeptics don't. They don't know you from Adam. They would say, well, you manipulated it. Even when you play the best evidence for them, they go, well, then that was probably somebody, you know, off in the corner whispering into the microphone, or you know, somebody in a scary costume, or whatever. So it's going to take, I think, the scientific community to actually get involved and do this to start working on that proof. But I don't know if I see it happening right now.
I don't see, like, even if there was a scientist present, I don't see it being accepted by a skeptic or even by other scientists. And I think that we have a reasonable amount of evidence in our field in order to, I guess, to prove to others that this is actually a phenomenon that's out there. Like, we have great EVPs. I've heard some wonderful EVPs out there that are definitely Class A EVPs, and I've seen some pretty convincing video and some very strange video, and I just see all this evidence that's been collected, and it just seems like so much more evidence to me than say another, I don't necessarily want to say another scientific field. I know we had somebody on a couple weeks ago. I think it might have been the web guy was on, but he was saying that for the other scientific proof that we have out there, you can actually put it into mathematics and it makes sense. But still, it just seems that for a lot of things out there, we don't have as much evidence as we have for ghosts, and they ignore our field because they think that it's a hoax, and it's kind of like a joke, the black sheep of any kind of research or any kind of existence. And I think that we're ignoring for that reason, and the possibility of ghosts is being pushed to the wayside because scientists don't want to get involved, because then they'll be shunned from the rest of the scientific community.
No, I completely agree with you. And, you know, as much as I'm not a fan of religion, especially religion and the paranormal, it's got to be taken on a measure of faith a lot of times. And no, I absolutely agree with you. There is a lot of evidence, and there is a lot of good evidence. And I always say my belief in ghosts does not require anyone else to believe in ghosts. I know they exist. I've seen them. I've been touched. I've heard great EVPs. I believe. But I completely understand why people would be skeptical, because it bothers me sometimes.
And how many years have you been in the field, and how many investigations have you gone on, and how little time would it take for, say, 20 legitimate scientists to go through the same thing that you've gone through in the last however many years? And then it just seems that they would be convinced, and then we can I guess move from there. It just seems that people are saying, no, it just doesn't exist, because 50 years ago their daddy told them that it doesn't exist. And so they just assume that that's the right answer, even though the evidence is pointing the other way, it seems, at this point.
No, I agree with you. You know, I've been doing this seriously, or I would say professionally, for 3 years, and I've been on, I think at this point I'm up to a couple hundred cases, and I think that would be part of the solution, is to have scientists on board. You know, I just don't think yet the equipment is perfected and tuned to what we need it to be. I think spirits are just science that we haven't explained yet, and I think one day we will catch up there, and I think more things will be explained. But now you got to take it on a little bit of faith.
Well, I think as paranormal investigators, it's our job to work towards taking that next step. You said that the equipment that we have at this point isn't enough to get to that next step where we can actually start making it a legitimate science. What steps to what does it need to be, and what steps do we need to take to get it there?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not quite sure what those steps would be. I mean, I know there's some great people out there who are constantly trying to think of things that would be helpful. I know locally we've got a great guy named Gary Big Neighbor, who's kind of the paranormal mad scientist, if you will. He's always trying to think up new devices and new theories, and that's what we need. We need theories. We need new ideas. We need and good ideas, not, you know, just trying to cash in on the current craze, which is unfortunately some of the people's motives in this. But as scientifically speaking, in terms of equipment, I don't know, because unfortunately I'm, you know, not a scientist in a larger sense. I wouldn't quite know, but I always enjoy hearing people's ideas and theories, and sometimes they don't pan out, and sometimes they're just ridiculous, and sometimes they're good ideas. And I think our field will continue to grow, and new ideas will be implemented, and I don't know if it's going to happen soon, but I do have firm belief that we will have a better understanding of this in times to come.
Well, on Saturday night, I know that I worked with Ghosts of Ohio on an investigation in Miami town. Am I allowed to talk about their equipment, or is that top secret? Anybody know?
Man, their equipment was great. I think we just can't talk about any evidence we got, but yeah.
Yeah, you could talk about the equipment, just not the evidence.
Okay, I had this computer program, and they had sensors all over the place, and every tenth of a second, it would record temperature, electromagnetic field, and I think like gravity field. And,
no, it was static electricity charges.
Yeah, and it would measure it every tenth of a second, and I know that at least when I was with other groups, it was like every 15 minutes we'd take a temperature reading, and it just seems a lot more advanced, and it seems like the field's moving forward in that way. But it seems like the paranormal groups out there are all developing, but they're all developing independently, and I think that's a problem with the field. There's thousands and thousands of people out there who are in paranormal investigators, but they're all, or I'm not saying they're all, but a lot of them are more interested in pushing themselves forward and not coming together as a group to pool all this knowledge and all that. And I'm not saying anything bad about Ghosts of Ohio at all. Ghosts of Ohio is a great group. They're more than willing to share any knowledge that they have with any other group. And I didn't mean to point them out, but I just think as a whole, it's something along those lines where there's just too many individuals out there and all these individuals have great ideas, but they're trying to use those ideas to push themselves forward instead of the field as a whole forward.
Right, and also you have to think there's the problem of funding as well. I mean, if I won the lottery, you can better believe my setup would look just like Ghosts of Ohio. And no, Jim Willis is a great guy, and his team does great work. But I agree with you in part that, yes, it would be great to kind of bring everyone together, and I really like your Peristats idea. The problem in my head that we run into is, again, the different philosophies of groups. You have some groups that rely heavily on mediums, and some groups that deal with, you know, the divine, and other groups that are very scientific-based, and so many people do things so many different ways. Then how do you... Where's your standard of evidence? What is the line that it has to meet to be counted as evidence? Like I said, there are groups out there who firmly, not many, but some who firmly believe that orb pictures are, you know, one of the best signs of a haunting out there. So where's the standard of evidence? It's a great idea, and I would love to explore it, but there's a lot of issues to overcome.
And I completely agree with that. There needs to be that standard of evidence, but how do other scientific fields reach that standard of evidence? What is the standard of evidence for physics or for chemistry or for zoology or something like that. Where what's the standard of evidence there, and why can't we attain that?
Well, I think you know, a lot of time you have something that it seems to be proven true, that acceptance is really the key, that people in a field such as maybe biology, they all, you know, work upon an accepted theory that seems to ring true. When you lay everything in line with this theory or with this, you know, whatever formula, it all pans out. And the problem being is so many of us have so many different theories on what constitutes good evidence. So that's my problem.
And I hate to do this, because this conversation's going so well and we're arguing this, but we do have a show on right after us at 11 o'clock, and it's 10:59 right now, and we like to give any of our guests an opportunity to throw out any plugs. It's like, what kind of events you got coming up? I know that you guys have a Halloween event coming up within the month.
Yeah, we do. We actually have several events. Every month we're based out of New Richmond, Ohio, which if you haven't been, it's great. You should go. We have a public ghost hunt of the Ross Gowdy Museum House. Check our website for details. Every month we give a presentation, and then basically it's a public ghost hunt with us, where you can either hang out and ghost hunt with us or hang out with, do whatever you'd like. We do have a October 30th event, which is more of a family-friendly event. We have a haunted house, as in the kind you people jump out at you, and music and dancing and refreshments, and we also have a ghost hunting 101 class. And it's actually held in a haunted building in New Richmond, the AP Appliance building. And if you'd like more information on our events, you can go to soarparanormal.com, check our calendar for events for the public ghost hunts, the ghost walks we do in New Richmond, and our October 30th event.
All right. I wanted to thank you so much for coming on. It was a great show, and I love to talk about these kind of things with other people and try to figure out why we're not a legitimate scientific field yet. And I think this was one of the better shows that we had on that subject. So
anytime you want me back, I'll fight with you all night. So thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for coming on, Matt. Sorry I didn't talk much. You know me, I never talk much.
Wait, you talk much?
No, I don't. And I'm sick on top of that, so every time I talk, I have to mute and then cough for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know you were sick, but you still managed to pull out a hell of a job at the convention on Saturday. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
It was a good event, Mike.
I agree. I was quite happy with the success.
But we should probably go to commercial and then close up.
All right. We will take a quick commercial break. You've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk, and we'll be right back.
Hey, you, come here, sit down. I got something I want to talk to you about. I'm going to make you an offer you shouldn't refuse. Tuesday nights, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on PTN Radio. Right after Miami Town Ghost Talk with Mike and Jeff Morris, you're going to listen to The Wisegeist, Music to Die For. The host, Tommy the Hammer, he's a friend of mine. And you know any friend of mine is a friend of yours, right? So drop by, tune in, you'll be like one of the family. You know, we say, family is forever.
Old Line Publishing is happy to announce a new release, Something Unseen, a novel by Stephen Hill. Now available at somethingunseen.com.
Coming this fall from Schiffer Books. From the author of the Ghost of Hollywood series and Workplace Spells comes a brand new book for all lovers of pets, Animal Spells and Magic by Marla Brooks. Learn how to choose your next pet according to their astrological sign. Explore animal superstitions. Learn 25 magic spells for your pets and get instructions on creating your own spells. Learn who to call upon and what to use to cast these spells. Include special chapters by Reverend Tim Shaw, Psychic to the Stars Kenny Kingston, Psychic Medium Victoria Gross, Animal Communicator Dinah Roseberry, and Shaman Willie Windwalker Gibson. This is the perfect book for all animal lovers. Animal Spells and Magic by Marla Brooks. For details on how to get your copy of this amazing new book, go to www.schifferbooks.com or check out Marla Brooks online at www.marlabrooks.com. This would make the perfect gift for the animal lover in your life. Go to www.schifferbooks.com or ask about it at your local bookstore.
Monday nights at 10 o'clock, Jeff from Miami Town
and Web Guy
host an interesting show where we talk about interesting things.
Lots of fun. Good stuff.
Or at least things that interest us.
Definitely.
And hopefully they interest you too, be it paranormal.
Or just interesting banter.
So, tune in Monday.
Monday.
Night at 10 o'clock on PTN for the most interesting show that you've ever heard.
Woo-hoo! Boo.
So, I mean, Saturday's event, so I really like to hear that. Makes me feel good.
It was a good event. Even though I don't think we had as many people as last year, it was still a very, very good event.
It was bad weather, too.
Yeah, it was raining and cold, and we still had a lot of people come. I know for my presentation, which was the last of the day, which was probably the least crowded, I still had probably 10 or 12 people there. They're watching me, not counting the vendors who are watching.
Yep. And during the peak of the day, they had 20 to 30 people at each presentation. So it was a good turnout, all things considered.
Yes. Very good. Make sure everyone out there buys our book, Cincinnati's Haunted Handbook. And make sure you go to peristats.com. Register your group there, and we will start to get some consolidation, some solidarity here in the paranormal field. And I have a new show coming up on Monday night called An Interesting Show, which we played some promos for today.
Yes, we did.
Which should be a very interesting show. And we have book signings coming up if you're in the Cincinnati area on Thursday in Wilmington at Books and More. And then on Saturday, and I don't remember where it is on Saturday.
I can tell you. Saturday we will be at Crestview Hills, Kentucky at Borders.
All right.
I'm on top of things today.
What?
I'm on top of things today.
And if you were in southwestern Ohio and you wanted a ghost tour, check out Miami Town Ghost Tours.
Yep.
And you've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network simulcast on PTN.
Thank you for listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk.